I don't know what's real. I don't know what's not real.
Limited Capacity is a collection of six darkly amusing stories about the mysterious ways we interact with the internet and with each other.
There's something going on with him. It's like an act. I don't trust him.
What?
You're staring at me like I should say something, but I don't really know what to do here.
That's the whole name of the game. Don't talk about how the town isn't real. Do you understand?
Limited Capacity. Available now on CBC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is a CBC podcast.
Hey, Taylor.
Hey, Jeremy.
Hey, world.
Hey, friends.
This week, I'm so excited about this episode. We sat down with this super rad young man, 19 years old.
Brandon. Super well-spoken.
Oh, my God. So well-spoken. But the guy has been through hell and back over the last 9 months, essentially. He went through some crazy shit, and just having him in to talk to him about it was super cool.
Yeah. So one thing that kind of went along with this episode is Brandon's an amputee, and there's some photos go along with his blog post. So if you didn't know this already, every time that we do an episode, we also have a correlating blog posts that we release on our website
for the most part. Yeah. And they're from our guests. Yeah, our guests write these posts.
Yeah. So, if you don't like our Facebook page already, go over there, like it. So you get those alerts when we drop those posts, when we release our episodes. But also head over to the blog post, especially if you're into like really gut wrenching photos. Cause there's some real gnarly stuff on there today.
They're super cool.
Oh yeah.
Super cool. But they also make you feel weird.
Yeah. You know, when you get that weird feeling in the tip of your dick.
Oh dude, what? No. No.
When you see something real gnarly, you just go,
oh. Okay. I kind of get what you're talking about. Yeah. I feel more in my butt. In my my butthole goes like, okay, Jesus Christ, enough of this. If you're still listening, keep tuning in because we love this episode and we're excited for you all to hear it.
Enjoy.
See you later.
Welcome to Sick Boy, a podcast where we talk about what it's like to be sick. Today's guest is Brandon Thomas. He has an osteosarcoma. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, your lunge would be fucking solid. Okay, well, how about this? Okay. Tell us your name.
My name's Brandon Thomas.
Hey, Brandon. And what are you here to talk about today?
I'm here to talk about, I was diagnosed with an osteosarcoma in my left thigh. And
that's a big word.
Yeah, I know.
Osteo?
Osteo means sarcoma. Bone. And sarcoma means tumor.
So okay, so you had a bone tumor.
Yeah. And it resulted in me getting a rotationplasty.
Oh, of course.
Van Ness, which is like my foot, well, my lower leg is rotated 180 degrees. My upper thigh is removed, and they attached the lower leg.
Okay, yeah, so my...
That was a really good description.
It really was, but
However, it's still hard.
People are going to Google it.
So okay. Let's take your whole leg and then cut it in half in the upper leg and the lower leg. They were like, upper leg, throw it in the garbage.
It's full of tumor. Let's throw it out.
We don't need it anymore. Let's take the lower leg and make it your upper leg.
Yeah, essentially because like my foot... Now that it's backwards, works as a knee joint.
Yeah, so they took your lower leg from about, say, the knee.
Yep, got rid of the knee.
And they took that and they attached it to your hip.
Yeah, I still have.
So you have a lower leg, starting at your hip.
Yeah,
and where your knee would originally be is now where your ankle and your foot is.
Yeah, exactly.
On your left leg.
Yeah, and I still have like a really small bit of femur left that it's attached to.
And you will when, because you're still going through like making that all work.
Yeah.
That you will have a prosthetic lower leg attached to that.
Attached. But, okay, so.
Eventually.
They left the foot on though, right?
Yes.
But they turned it around backwards.
Well, so you have a backwards foot.
No, they turned the leg around backwards. The foot, like.
The foot's the same.
Oh, the foot's still facing the right way?
Dude, it's like this.
That doesn't work for audio.
Yeah, people can't really.
Sorry,
but yes, hey, wait, can I see it?
Yeah,
I'm gonna come over there. I just want to see.
And you know, dude, he's got pictures because.
Okay, so. Oh yeah! Whoa, dude! Yeah. And holy fuck, dude! That's your whole foot.
That's my whole foot. And so, like,
you've got this like little leg coming out of your hip.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
It goes right down to your foot.
And so I can't fully move it yet because I had. Some,
oh, but you can move your ankle. But you've got
I'm supposed
some
to be able to
it.
Fully move it.
Whoa!
Eventually.
Yeah. So you basically have one full leg and then one half leg that's just backwards.
So when it's fully flexed, so like when my toes are pointing towards the ground, if I was standing, that would be me standing up with the prosthetic leg on. And then when I flex it and bring it back, it brings the lower part of the leg back.
So your ankle and your heel work as your the knee joint.
Yeah, it's a knee joint. Yeah.
So they're not gonna like it's hard for people. I feel like it's hard for people to understand, but no, they're not going to cut the top of your foot off.
We've got pictures
so that it's like flush with the back of your leg.
No, see, usually when people have this, they're young, so usually there isn't a huge mismatch between their thigh and their lower leg. But I'm older, so we did have an issue, and it's just a matter of like getting it to heal then.
Dude, that's so wild. It's so like it's so interesting looking, you know?
Oh yeah. I get all the
I bet
kids freak out.
Oh, I bet you freak the fuck out of kids.
Jeremy, how many feet have you seen turned around?
None.
Oh, like I have kids ask me if I was born this way.
Yeah.
Or like they just freak out and yell at their mom and their mom freaks out. It's great.
Yeah, their mom's like, what the fuck?
Yeah. I was telling the guys that I can just tell these children I tried drugs once and
you fucked without a condom and this is what happened.
And every time I did it, the foot just turned more and more and more. Now look what happened. Yeah.
So what's your timeline of your diagnosis and how you find what prompted you finding out about it?
Yeah, you're a young buck, right?
My story is
how old are you?
I'm 19, just turned 19.
Just turned 19.
Well, I guess it's been a while, but yeah, in June. Yeah.
All right.
I was diagnosed March 10th, so coming up.
Yeah,
almost
like last year, 2015.
Yeah, and I forget when you guys know the Terry Fox story, kind of familiar because the same.
I'm kind of familiar with him. What's his deal?
Well, Terry Fox had the same tumor I had.
Yeah. For all of our American listeners,
Terry Fox is a global thing.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
You know what though? I know a lot of Americans don't know who he is. They don't. They have no idea who the fuck
let's
that
talk
guy
about
is.
Him anyway,
Terry Fox
I love him.
Was a Canadian. Who had the same cancer as Brandon, and he lost his leg, and he had a prosthetic, and he, in trying to raise awareness of that particular cancer, he set out to run from Vancouver, all the way to Newfoundland, or the opposite way.
Other way around. He started on the East Coast.
Started in Newfoundland and was going to run to Vancouver, but he passed away. In the middle of that,
made it as far as Thunder Bay,
Manitoba.
Yeah,
okay, sure.
Yeah, it metastasized to his lungs. Yeah,
and he's a national treasure. I mean, the guy's on our fucking money. Is he on our money? No,
stamps.
There's a
loony. He's in the passport.
Yeah, he's on the loony.
Passports now. There's a page with him in it. Yeah. But,
so he means a lot. He's a hero. He's a Canadian hero.
And there's a Terry Fox Day every year.
Every year, we recognize
him. What I found was cool, though, is because Terry Fox, like, usually when you get diagnosed with osteosarcoma, it's because your femur breaks under the pressure of the tumor.
Holy fuck.
Or it grows silently, metastasizes through your lungs, kills you, right?
Okay.
It breaks your femur?
Yeah, because it's, like, mine was the size of, like, a football when they took it out.
It's so. Like, femur's like a
Hulk tumor.
But wait, you didn't like it? Was there a bump or something you noticed?
So like Terry Fox found out because he got in a car crash and he hurt his knee, complained about knee problems, goes in, has a tumor. I was at the gym, dropped a 70-pound dumbbell on it. Whoa. And it just got out of my hands, fell right dead center of my quad, thought nothing of it. And then I was kind of rubbing my hands down my legs, felt a little lump, and I was like, no big deal. It's probably just like a muscle, something.
Yeah, you just dropped 70 pounds of weight on it. It's going to swell up, of course.
I didn't think it was anything. And then as I go to the gym, I couldn't do squats anymore, things like that. Just started to really hurt. So I thought, okay, I tore something or I strained something. Because, of course, I'm not going to go, it's a tumor.
Yeah.
So I went to a massage therapist. She beat the shit out of it. Tried to break it down.
God.
Didn't work.
Was it painful?
Oh, yeah. It was fucking painful. I tried foam rolling it. I tried doing everything you should not do to a tumor.
Oh my God.
I'm surprised it didn't just explode.
Is it like a video game villain where like the more you hit it, the more power it grows? Like does it get worse the more you fucking foam roll
not
it?
Not really.
And punch it? No,
but, like,
okay.
And then I had
that was a really stupid question.
Yeah, it was.
I had acupuncture done on it.
Oh,
yeah.
And
then I finally found someone who put, like, I guess he thought because I dropped the dumbbell, he diagnosed me with something called myositis ossificans, which is calcification of soft tissue due to blunt trauma. And it's the number one thing that can mask an osteosarcoma in an x-ray.
Oh.
So I was like, this is what I got. And I actually piggybacked a girl all the way from Dow all the way to Quinpool Road. Woke up the next morning.
That's a distance.
Yeah, woke up the next morning. My leg was just howling, and I was like, okay, something's wrong. So I showed it to my dad, and at this point, my whole thigh just looks like it's constantly, like, flexed. It looks like it's like a rock because it was pushing on the quadricep muscles, like, so much.
Right.
So he's like, okay, that's not fucking normal.
Are we talking, like, right on the front of your thigh?
Yeah, like, mid-thigh. Like, mine was distal, so it was, like, more in the middle of the femur.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. And so he's like, doesn't look right. So went in, got an x-ray. And so the way myositis like masks it is because when you do the x-ray, you'll see this cloudy image, but it won't be flush with the bone, right? Because my tumor's coming out of the bone. So the cloud was flush with the bone.
It's so like attached to the bone?
Yeah. And so the doctor was like, could be a tumor. And I was just like, what the fuck?
Did he say it like that?
Well, kind of. We were friends with this doctor, so he was pretty like straightforward, just like, there's a possibility. And then so we went and did an MRI. They did not like the looks of the MRI. And I went home from the MRI, and they called me back and said, we want you to come in for a bone scan, CAT scan. So I did that.
Like pretty much immediately.
Immediately, yeah. They did the bone scan.
And during this sort of span of what, maybe of a few days?
We found it on a Monday and had every test done by a Thursday other than the surgical biopsy.
Wow.
What was going through your mind? Like, this is very fast.
Yeah, it was super fast, which is great. But part of me just really didn't want to believe that it was a tumor. And I just wanted to believe it was that myositis thing because it just made sense. You know, you drop the dumbbell, cause and effect. That's why it happens.
Yeah.
You don't just fucking bump your shoulder and there's a tumor there.
There's cancer. Yeah.
But, and it made it worse because as we were going through all this, and then they called me in to do a needle biopsy, and they stuck a huge needle in my leg.
Ouch.
And sent one to the clinic in the States, one here. One here said negative, like they said I didn't have cancer.
Whoa.
Yeah. And the one in the States said positive for cancer. So they said, okay, need to do a surgical biopsy and book me in for that. But
holy shit, dude.
Yeah, and I met with, because there's two doctors here to do the surgeries, and I met with the senior guy, and I explained to him my story, and he told me that he was 90% sure that it was not a tumor.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Wow.
But the thing was, if you looked at my x-ray, I was missing all these characteristics of an osteosarcoma.
Of a tumor, right.
And I don't know if it was because of everything I did to it, all the manipulation, all the massage.
Rolling it out, yeah.
Rolling it out with a fucking rolling pin.
Yeah.
Like, I was going hard on that thing. So I think that's why. But then they did the surgical biopsy, which kind of made things worse almost. Because as soon as you just open up a tumor and take a piece of it, it just gets all swelled up and shit.
So they cut it, what do they do to do the biopsy?
They make a pretty small incision on the side of my leg and then just basically go in and take like, it was like a two golf ball sized like chunk, and then they cut that in half.
So that's a fucking huge chunk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Holy shit, dude.
And they take one
I
half.
I thought they
of
would
it.
Just take like a little sliver.
They need a big, big piece, right?
Two golf balls jammed together. We're not like, or two separate golf ball sizes.
It was like, well, one golf ball for this lab and then one golf ball for the other lab.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
But it's because they need like so much like different layers of tissue and like that type of shit, right?
Yeah.
And they're when they're doing this biopsy, this is to take that, test it, and say malignant or benign.
Exactly, yeah. And knowing my luck, like when they did the needle biopsy, it fell onto like, I think it was like March break or something. So I had to wait even longer. And then when I, same with the other biopsy, it was another holiday.
Wait, doctors take March break?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
I guess the labs. But either way.
I didn't know that.
Dude, everyone has to take March break.
Oh, but I thought that was just like.
Sick people can wait.
I thought it was just students.
So they called me in.
They all went down to Cancun. Just got fucked.
Yeah, fuck that kid.
Came home like, oh shit, what? Oh yeah, the kid with the tumor. I guess we'll check it out.
Yeah, they called me in and they basically told me like, you have cancer and it's likely in stage two. My parents are freaking out. Like, it doesn't make sense. And I mean, doctors are great. And he basically told me it's like a silent killer. So it just grows. That's what I really wanted to hear. He said, it'll grow and you just won't know. You're lucky you found out and you dropped that dumbbell.
You just have an assassin.
Do you feel that way though? Do you feel lucky about that?
I do. Cause like I said, people usually break their femur, especially their lungs.
Right. Yeah.
But in a way, like me dropping that dumbbell, if I didn't, I might have only found it when it was either progressed to.
Yeah. Far. So potentially that saved your life.
Yeah, exactly. And at this stage, they were telling me that all they were going to do was remove the piece of my femur that was infected, take a donor piece of femur, like allograft, and replace it. Keep my leg. And that was the plan. And I was.
Sounds like a pretty solid plan.
Pretty solid plan. I was going to have 28 chemo treatments and went in, got my portacath put in my chest. Ready to go.
Wham, bam. Thank you, ma'am.
When you said 9 months. You weren't in hospital for nine months.
I went home maybe four times. I had about 10 different complications, so they just felt it was not safe for me to go home.
You straight up made that place your home.
Yeah,
so
I did.
So that's March of last year. So, like, you haven't spent much time out of the hospital.
Oh. Yeah.
Fuck, buddy. Welcome back to the real world, man.
It's pretty scary.
Shit.
This is the biggest group of people I've been around. No.
So you mentioned before we started recording that you got to go to the children's hospital, though.
Yeah. Since this is considered like a childhood illness, like it's seen usually in people from, I guess I'm assuming infancy to the age of 18. It's usually cut off.
Osteosarcoma specifically?
Do you know why that is?
They said like they don't know a lot of it about it. They said the one correlation that they think has to do with growth spurts. So when your body's at its most amount of like cellular development, shit's going crazy, that it can happen. I felt like maybe that dumbbell did something. They said no. I mean, like going back to Terry Fox to the day he died, he always said that car crash did something. So before he was fine, but then he had issues with his knee. Mm-hmm. Turned out this was in his knee.
So you were fine. Like there was no
nothing before you dropped it. Good. Perfectly good. Dropped a dumbbell, got a tumor.
Well, that's what I was saying. Wow. I mean, this is Stay what I was saying gym. About the whole
lesson
like,
learned. Don't drop any dumbbells.
Just don't go to the gym.
Well, what I said earlier that I admitted was kind of stupid, but it wasn't that stupid because I feel like if that tumor was there anyway. And then you drop the dumbbell on it. It's like you angered the tumor, right?
This is
a really lame and stupid way of putting it, but it's like that dumbbell slammed it, and then that caused inflammation in the tumor. That tumor started to grow on that inflammation.
Bro science.
It's a bro science for sure.
No matter what,
that could totally be. That makes sense in my brain. You know what I mean?
Like, just dropping 70 pounds on a tumor just can't be good. So.
No, fuck no. You know,
it makes sense in my brain. So.
Yeah, totally.
But listen. If you were thinking about it the other way, I mean, you look at guys in like the UFC or whatever, Taekwondo or boxing. Like they're not getting tumors punched into their fucking head.
Yeah, so much sense in my brain.
Then wait, does that contradict what you just said? Then
no, because what you guys are saying is that. Maybe the dumbbell dropping caused the tumor.
Mm. No, I'm not.
What I'm saying is that the dropping dropping the dumbbell caused the tumor to freak out and fucking grow at an exponential rate. Exactly.
Yeah.
Right?
Because sometimes like it won't come out of the bone, right? That's when you're...
No, I fucking didn't.
You just made up that we thought that. We didn't think that.
No, you did.
Nope.
Listeners, just rewind about 3 minutes and you'll hear exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah, well, I'll put $20 on that.
Yeah.
Without even going back.
Whatever.
So, yeah, we started treatment right away. And after my first treatment, like, the tumor started freaking out. It got real swollen. They said that was normal, which it wasn't, turned out. I went home, for that one night. It was like Mother's Day. All the veins in my like thigh turned black. I was then like, it wasn't right. So he took me to the hospital the next morning. And then I spiked this high fever, went into shock. Turned out I had an internal bleed in the tumor.
Oh, wow.
So I was bleeding into the tumor. So I was essentially feeding the tumor. I lost like 30% of my blood supply,
Holy shit.
Bleeding into it.
So it'd be like just like cutting yourself and bleeding out, except it was basically
internally.
Just going into the into the tumor.
They took me to the ICU, figured out what was going on.
This is in the midst of your chemo.
Yeah, it was first treatment.
Okay.
So I was like, great, 27 more to go. I went to the HI for the specialist, put a little tool, basically like went in my groin, on the like right side of my groin, went through the artery and like cauterized it. And so that was the end of the bleed, basically. So that was my first complication. But I also had like lungs collapse. I had
What was that from? Are you just dropping dumbbells all over your body, like
laying in bed for so long, like having one of my treatments when I would get methotrexate, they'd have to pump you, like I'd have to stay with fluids all day because I'd have to get it out of my system because of the effect it can have on my bladder.
Mm.
So they're always like measuring my pee and shit to make sure the levels like get out of my body.
Did
in
you say
a certain timeline?
Did you say methotrexate?
Methotrexate.
Methotrexate.
Did you just call it meth for short?
Sometimes.
Yeah.
I had the methotrexate, the doxy
definitely sounds like a transformer.
And the cisplatin. Yeah, all three.
Dude, you're pretty good with those.
I fucking words down.
Honestly, like, 9 months, like they just handed me my nursing degree and they're like, you're done. You're a nurse now.
So no. Your lungs collapsed because you were in bed for so long?
Just not moving, laying in bed. Apparently they filled up with like fluid in one side and then my lower part of my left lung collapsed. Yeah.
Fuck, man, the body.
What did that feel like?
I just like couldn't breathe and had horrible back pain. And
God, that sounds exactly like me right now.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Fuck, my back
it's crazy
so
because
fucked.
when you're talking about this, you're saying like I've had like in the past, like as if it happened years ago or like
this is like 3 weeks ago, man.
Yeah, like all of this shit has been so recent. So like. Yeah. Like, how have you been, and especially when you're in these moments, how are you, like, handling that emotional stress?
Yeah, like, what's going through your head?
Well,
like, what's...
from, like, day one when I got diagnosed, like, they told me, like, you have cancer. I went home, and I just kind of, like, looked myself in the mirror, and I just kind of, like, sat there for 10 minutes, and I told myself that it would go one of two ways. This is going to kill me, or I was going to beat it, and I had to fight it, and that was it, and... I just never saw like any choices through it. It's like you have to do the chemo. You got to do the physio. You got to go to bed. If you don't, if you give up,
you're
fucked. Kill you. Like,
yeah.
And I mean, like, and that's why I was kind of lucky to be at the IWK because like there's so many supports there. Mentally, I was able to like stay strong the whole time.
So the IWK is the Children's
Place
Hospital here in Halifax. So because of osteosarcoma, you're 19, but you got to stay in the Children's Hospital and be in this environment that was a lot more beneficial for...
Use my tumor to my advantage.
Yeah.
Dude, straight up though, the IWK, like in terms of being admitted compared to the fucking QE2, oh man, night and day. Like you're looking at, like even down to the fucking color of the paint they put on the walls. Like there's something so depressing about being in the QE2. QE2 is like the regular hospital here.
Yeah.
But man, the IWK is like, they're fucking awesome over there.
I don't know
how. That place is unreal.
I could have done 9 months if I wasn't there.
Yeah.
Because like mentally, like that was the big thing. And like the nurses even told me like you need to keep your mental strength up because, you know, if you don't, working on this floor, on the oncology floor, they see, you know, cancer take kids all the time.
Fuck.
But it's... Sometimes, you know, it's those ones that just give up and they're depressed and they don't want to take their meds or they, you know, always come, you know. But it's hard, like, not to be depressed, but you just got to stay focused and just really want to beat it and, you know.
This is kind of veering off a little bit, but 9 months is a long time to be in a hospital, obviously, you know, with off and on four times, but like in general, 9 months.
Yeah.
You're seeing the same nurses, I'm assuming, over and over and over again, or a lot of the same nurses.
Yeah.
Did you Did you start to like crush on any of them? Like,
oh, I had,
man, there's,
I had
there's
my
some
crushes.
Beautiful nurses in the city,
especially on the oncology floor. They put all of the hot nurses on the oncology floor, right?
Yeah.
So, and no, I became pretty close to a lot of them.
Yeah.
And it was great.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good.
is there a story that we like?
No, there's no real story.
No.
I mean, even my dad liked it, you know. So I had that all happen, and while this was going on, they called me, and so I was at this point, I had all my treatments leading up to my like surgical planning day, and I was, you know, in between this time, I was having scans and stuff like that.
Was your surgical planning the what they were talking about doing with the femur bone?
Yeah, but what I thought it was going to be was they were going to just take the tumor out and put that other piece of femur in.
Yeah, yeah.
At this point, I thought I was keeping my leg. Like, and all my scans I was having, they were telling me, oh, your scans look great. Like, your tumor looks like it's shrinking. I was like, sweet, great. Right. We're on the right road.
Awesome.
Awesome. And then
do you think they had any idea that they weren't going to be able to do the?
I really don't know. Like, if they did,
yeah,
if they did, they were keeping it a secret,
right?
But doctors, I mean, surgeons are, you know, cut and dry. So I basically sat in a room with, you know, all these doctors, my parents, my physiotherapist, you know, all these other supports, and they looked at me and said, "So, can't save your leg. It's got to go. Your tumor has not grown in size so much, but it has in length. It's too close to your knee. It's too close to your hip. It's in your quadriceps, and it's also in your hamstrings."
Jesus.
Yeah, and they said it straight up. They said, all right, so here are your three choices. We can take the femur out and put a rod, but you won't have any muscles to make that really work. So you'll basically have like a leg that really won't be – you'll have difficulty bending your knee. You'll have difficulty doing – all sorts of shit, right? So it wouldn't be a, like, I'm 19. I don't want to live the rest of my life that.
Yeah.
I'd also have to have numerous surgeries, right? Because the rod breaks down over a certain amount of years, get it replaced. Those are huge surgeries, right? Then they also said other choice was just high amputation right to the fucking, right up to my hip. Just get rid of the fucking thing. Or.
And give you like a full leg prosthetic?
Yeah. Yeah. Or they said we can do the rotation plasty. And this sounded fucking crazy to me because they were like, all right, so we're going to remove your thigh, take your lower leg, turn it around, reattach it, and your foot will be a knee. And then I just started like breathing like real heavy, and I looked at my physiotherapist.
You started laughing. You're like, yeah, but man, for real, what is it?
Dude, but wait, what?
But I just want to say you explained that so well and so clearly in such a small amount of words. And
yeah.
We're here at the start of the episode, like trying to explain what it looked like.
Yeah, and that was it right there. You nailed it.
Yeah, you nailed that so fast. But what was, so how did you make that decision then? What was that process like weighing in on what option to pick?
Yeah, so like they told me that. And so I freaked out at that point and was like, I looked at my physiotherapist. I said, I need to leave. I couldn't process it at the time.
Right.
Especially because rotation plasty sound like some crazy made up shit.
Yeah. it sounds so fucked. Yeah.
You're like in one, and you have half a mind that's like, that sounds fucking crazy and like some made up shit, but it also sounds like maybe the best option.
Yeah. So my parents stayed in there. I left and spoke to my physiotherapist about it. And it ended up coming down to
at this point, when this is all happening, are you able to walk?
No, I'm in a wheelchair.
You're just straight
because,
confined.
Like, they want to keep the leg, even though my femur didn't break, it could at like any time.
Any time, yeah.
So I was not weight bearing, and I was wearing like a brace just to keep it straight all the time.
What's the difference between what's the pros and cons of what you chose to do and the full amputation of the leg?
So you do full amputation of the leg, you're losing a knee joint. And you're losing the ability to, you know, bend and move your lower leg with your, like, fucking brain, right? Make that shit work.
Yeah.
Because you have an artificial knee joint. It's based off of, like, gravity and weight and all that shit. But with me, the way my prosthetic works, when I, you know, flex my foot, I can control the lower leg. So it's essentially, like, still having the leg. So I would have more mobility.
Yeah.
People who have had rotation plasties, return to sports. I recently just spoke to a guy who's on his way, like going to Rio for the Special Olympics.
Sweet.
He's like a track star in the States, and he played, you know,
Oscar Pist-
he played basketball, football, and lacrosse in high school. Like, he played all these sports, and like, so he was still able to be really, really active and return to like basically normal functioning life. So that's really kind of what sold me on it. Yeah. Just because that's what I wanted, right? To
do you have
get back?
Do you? This is something I have a friend who and I was telling you I have a friend who has an amputation from like just above the knee. But I've never asked him this question. Do you have any like phantom feeling?
The thing is with the rotationplasty. So the reason you get phantom pain is because they will sever like your nerve, right, at a certain angle. When they did my surgery, I still have the nerve and the vascular bundle of a full leg. It's just wrapped up, right? So that sounds pretty crazy. Yeah.
Where is it wrapped up to?
I think it's kind of near. I don't actually really know.
Up by the hip, probably.
Yeah, more up there.
They gave you a third nut. They just wrapped it up and then kind of like fed it down to your sack, and you're like, "Hey, check it out."
No, but
three balls.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
No, I never really had any like phantom pain. For a while, like it would be hard. Like I lost my balance once, and like your first instinct would be to put that leg out.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was no leg there, and I fell. And but shit like that kind of took a while to get used to. But where it's still, I have my foot and stuff like that. Like, your foot's built to bear pressure and weight, so that's also another benefit. So when I wear that prosthetic and I load, it's gonna essentially feel almost like you're standing on two legs.
So was this were these the things that your physiotherapist was telling you?
Yeah.
After that moment of like, I gotta get the fuck out of here. I gotta take some time.
It was, and then we asked to meet with the doctors again and one of the physiotherapists there to discuss, you know, my options. And the physiotherapist at the hospital was saying, listen, like, I don't know if it's going to work. You're 19. Usually children have this done. Your brain might not be able to remap everything out. Your foot might never, you know, function. She was telling me all the reasons why, like, I shouldn't do it. And right across the street is the rehab center where they make prosthetics. And I thought, this dude has to deal with prosthetics all the time.
If anyone knows.
And yeah. I was so happy I went to see this guy because he basically told me, he's like, the only issue I see would be, like, you know, yourself thinking you can't do it. Like, you're 19, you're still young, you can make it work. I've seen people, you know, around your age do it. And he's kind of what sold me on it and, you know, made all the points of, like, how much function I would have and how much function I would be losing and how, like, you know, he knows people that have above knees that would do anything to actually have a knee joint that works, right? Because the function you get back and the things you can do, it's just it would change things, right?
One of the things that... Actually, the other thing I was thinking is with your foot on backwards like that, or I guess your whole leg on backwards, how does the foot fit into the prosthetic? Because what I'm used to seeing for a prosthetic that's done
just like a stump.
Below the knee is like a stump that fits into
like a cup or something.
I do have pictures of a prosthetic to show you guys, but I guess best way it would be explain it is like think of a shoe, I guess, but like because... I can point my foot like pretty straight, right? So,
right,
like a ballerina.
Yeah,
like you would kind of like point your toes towards the earth.
Yeah,
yeah.
I point them down, and I'd have almost like a shoe type thing, and then that might on the bottom have a blade or you know a prosthetic foot, and then it's usually so that piece, and then basically almost like a brace that would go around the top of the hip.
Okay,
or top of like my thigh.
Right, just like make everything solid.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. So it's pretty straightforward, and then that just has like a little hinge by my ankle, and when I move up and down, it just kind
of
moves.
Like one of those curved, like one of those like half moon blades.
Yeah.
Those are pretty badass.
That's where you can make a Pistorius reference to.
Yeah, because that's what that dude was running on, right? He had two of those blades.
Yeah, the
didn't
blade
he?
Runner.
Yeah.
You know that when they were talking about Oscar Pistorius running in the Olympics instead of the Special Olympics, there was a big thing about how like
he's got an
advantage over everybody
for sure.
Cyborg man.
Yeah,
because his legs provide
more spring
than real legs.
That guy's like a fucking robotic cheetah.
I think one of the other things that they talked about was lactic acid buildup.
And also I'm pretty sure he was like just pointing a gun at everyone he was fucking racing against.
Jesus Christ.
I always
he is in jail.
I've thought about this in life, like what how I would feel or how would I try to think or shift my perspective if something like this happened to me. And one of the things that I always think would be my kind of like saving grace or thing that would get me through dealing with something like that would be wanting to compete in like wheelchair basketball or like sledge hockey and things like that, because it's those sports I've briefly played them once or twice at like a Special Olympics thing, and it's so much fun, but you feel like you as an able-bodied person, then you can't. Is able-bodied
racist?
Yeah, it's super racist.
Is able-bodied and
you
disabled? Are those
not, you and your two legs? Are those
not PC anymore?
I'm not sure.
It's fine by me.
Do you know? Is that like?
I think so. I was able-bodied a couple months ago. Yeah. So. Yeah.
I would like to, before we get into talking about the surgery and how all that went. I am curious to know, because you're a young fella. Mm. You're a big dude. You look fit as shit.
I used to be fitter.
Yeah. And so what was Brandon before cancer? Like what were you into? Like what were you doing?
Like I played football when I was in high school. I finished my first year. I just went to like community college after. So I got 1 year of that done. But I just spent a lot of time in the gym, stuff like that. Like I was pretty fit and active. So I wasn't someone that just kind of sat around and didn't do anything. So it was pretty tough just to like spend all this time in bed.
All came to a halt.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you find out, okay, I can do this thing where they're going to cut off my fucking leg and reattach it backwards at my hip, and I'll be able to have like a really fucking cool prosthetic that I can actually use.
Yeah.
Are you, coming back to what Brian was saying, like do you have ideas of what you want to do?
Yeah, I definitely want to get back to the weight training as much as I can. But like things like wheelchair basketball or I don't know, there's like lots of stuff out there.
Yeah.
But I haven't really looked into it yet because like I don't have the prosthetic.
Murderball. Right.
Have you seen the documentary Murderball?
No, I haven't.
Holy shit, dude.
Super badass.
It's one of the, if not the best movie I've ever seen. Mm. And it's about like wheelchair basketball or rugby.
Documentary.
Yeah.
Those guys fuck each other up. They're so rough.
It's well done.
Like I don't use wheelchairs a lot. I don't really like using them. But I did use a basketball wheelchair when I was in the hospital. Like they had one and I tried it out and they're fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Like, you can't stop them and they turn on a dime like they're sick.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're awesome.
You should start like, I don't know, is there kind of the parkour of wheelchairing? Get into that shit. That would be cool as fuck.
I'm starting my own thing.
The parkour?
Wheelchair parkour.
Of wheelchairing?
Yeah,
is that what you said?
Yeah, I meant the I don't know. You know what I meant.
I think you should.
You
do
fucking
the,
knew what I meant. Don't look at me like that. Listen, you're coming down on me hard on this episode. It's hurt my feelings.
The amputee breakdancing is really cool.
Oh, the crush. I'd be great on that because I can just stand on the one
amputee
foot.
Vogan.
Yeah. And just spin. Yeah.
Amputee Vogan.
Yeah.
So tell us about the surgery. You decide you're gonna go with the what's it called again?
Rotation plasty. Apparently, it's existed for like quite some time. It was named after, I guess, a dude named Van Ness, some German guy
who did it for fun.
Yeah. crazy experiment. But he wasn't
backwards really well.
Yeah,
it's a tourist pulled over at German gas stations.
it wasn't originally used for like cancer patients. It was used for like, you know, people that had either issues in the way they were born, and it would give them more function. So it's existed for a while, but it's only like it's recently been adopted into like people who have rotation plasties, and you know the knee has to go or most of the thigh has to go, and then that's an option.
Was a lot of the research for osteosarcoma, is that a product of the work that Terry Fox and the Terry Fox Foundation has done?
Yeah, I feel like a big chunk of it has. And I felt like before, of course, I always respected Terry Fox, but as soon as I got diagnosed and I was going through it and having the same cancer he had, and I kind of realized like maybe my odds that I have now, I wouldn't have if he didn't do the shit he did.
Yeah.
So it made me have like whole new different respect towards him.
Let's talk about the surgery. Yeah, let's get back to the surgery.
yeah, it was a pretty like intense leading up to the surgery, of course. Like, it just got more intense every day, like, waiting. And, like, intense, like, emotionally, right? Like, it was just like, fuck, like, I'm losing my leg. Last time looking at my thigh, shit like that.
Were you able to go and, like, were you feeling well enough that you could go and do things that you were kind of like, I might not get to do this for a while?
Not really, because I couldn't put weight on it.
You were kind of in a wheelchair. Right.
So, I mean, yeah, there wasn't really much I could do.
Right.
Think of your favorite one-hit wonder.
Or that overpriced toy your parents would never let you have.
Or that TV show that no one else remembers because it was canceled way too soon. Now, what if we could fix it? I'm Francesca Ramsey.
And I'm DeLon Grant. And after 20 years of friendship, we are now hosting a new nostalgia podcast called Let Me Fix It.
Each episode, we'll dig into our favorite celebrities, shows, and brands of yesteryear, and then imagine what it would take to repackage them for relevance today.
Think of our show as an intervention, but with way less stakes.
So subscribe to Let Me Fix It wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Is there any risk in, like, can it affect your dick at all? Like, can it affect your reproductive organs in losing your leg?
No, but there was, like, part of, like, I guess when you get, like, the surgery done, there's so much inflammation and swelling going.
Yeah.
That it, like, can travel, like, that fluid. Ooh. And so, like, I woke up and my balls were so swollen.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they were huge. And I was like, nurse, the fuck did you guys do to my balls?
Nurse.
They were like,
check my nuts.
No, honestly, I was like, you need to look at my nuts. Like, they're not normal.
It's okay. We just replace your testicles with basketballs.
I'm not falling for that one.
We heard you like sports.
No, not you, Helga, the hot one.
They hurt a lot, and I didn't know what was wrong, and it felt weird. And they told me it was just like the chlorhexidine that they rub on your leg before surgery, and that's what I thought it was. And then I was like, this is like scabbed. And they had shaved my balls with a dry razor. No shaving.
Oh,
razor.
No.
Yeah. It turned out that's what it was. And the next day I saw the doctor. I was like, who shaved my balls, huh? Who did it? Was it you, motherfucker? Yeah. You think you can put my leg on backwards and fuck up my balls in the same night?
Why did they have to shave your balls?
They had to shave all the hair off my leg, and then they went all the way up there and shaved all that too.
They're just for good measure.
Yeah. Well, yeah, because, like, think about it. If they're cutting you open and then they go to sew you back up and they sew... And you got real long pubes, and then they like sew the hair into the. It just can't be good, right?
Yeah. Like, or you just want hair to get like in there, just like anything, yeah.
Yeah, they don't want to fuck around with it.
Oh, yeah.
Clear that, clean that space up.
Or it's just a big joke, like the doctor's like,
yeah,
let's get his balls.
Or they looked at you and they're like, what the fuck's wrong with this kid? He doesn't fucking trim up down here.
So anyway, they wheeled me in, and, like, you know, there's a fuckload of doctors in this room. I've never seen so many doctors in one room. And, you know, they got a picture of my leg on the fucking wall, like my x-ray and shit. And
God, your heart must have just been...
Oh, my heart's fucking racing. And so, of course, I don't remember anything after that. Apparently, they took me into the ICU, and the surgery was successful. But the issue was, apparently, the anesthetic, because they were supposed to keep me asleep the whole time, and it wore off. I woke up. I took the breathing tube and I pulled it out of my throat.
What the fuck?
Something from like a movie, basically. I started fucking screaming. And my dad was there. I don't remember any of this. And they immediately put more meds in, put me in, knocked me back out. And then I guess like 30 minutes after that, they lost the pulse in my foot and the artery kinked. Then I had to go back into the emergency room, open me back up, and fix the artery.
Oh, Jesus.
Because then it was like, if we don't fix the artery, you could lose the leg.
Like within a certain amount of time.
Yeah, yeah. Or like, you know, just, yeah, it could cause more complications.
Yeah.
And then what they did is they basically put a plate in at the time. They had a plate attaching the upper part of my femur to the tibia, basically. And the issue is I had a mismatch in size. So the front of my leg on the top side, like, was completely attached and sewed together well. But the bottom was not. At all, basically. So if I lifted my leg up, and you could just see bone, like it was fucked, and because there was just a mismatch in size, and I was like, this is never gonna fucking heal, and it did. It's all healed now. But
I'm a little lost. When you lift your leg up,
so if I would have lifted my leg up after the surgery, like I got a picture of that too. It's just all open. Like they couldn't, because the issue is like think about it when you take a step forward, or if you lift your leg up from your butt to your thigh, that skin kind of like stretches. You know what I mean?
Oh, like underneath, like where your ass.
Yeah, right where your ass butt cheek would be underneath.
That was like just like a gaping wound.
Yeah, because if they attached it and just sewed it together, then I wouldn't have that mobility. Be too tight.
So they wanted it to just like naturally grow in together.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Okay. Can we take a second to look at these pictures?
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
Whoa. Oh my God.
It gets a little gnarly.
Whoa. That is so intense.
That one's pretty gnarly.
Oh my God. Whoa, dude. It's like a Joker's mouth.
Oh my God.
Fuck. Oh man.
Is that the tumor? Holy fuck. Oh my God.
That's the
God.
Bottom.
Oh, dude, the bee's on the end. Oh.
Holy so that's fucking that's shit. Oh my God, that's the tumor?
Yeah.
Oh. Oh, fucking fuck.
Oh my God, dude. Whoa, dude. That's your fucking leg. Oh, fuck. Holy shit.
Dude, this looks like Leatherface. Legit. It looks like the fucking mask that the Texas Chainsaw Massacre guy put on.
Holy shit, dude.
So the hole underneath is like open.
That's it. That's your leg.
That's my leg. I miss it every day.
Fuck.
It fucking blows my mind that we live in a time where like a team of like whatever, 5, 8, 10 people can wheel your ass into a room, slice off your fucking leg, and then reattach the lower half of it and be like, all right, cool, just give this some time, and it will eventually turn out to be a new leg.
Yeah.
Won't be the same leg that you had, but it'll be a fucking leg that works, and you'll be able to actually walk, and you'll be able to play sports.
Yeah.
Like that, it's man, it's like it's fucking, like we were talking about the other day about, you know, if this was the 1700s, like, dude,
and I'd be long gone.
You'd be long gone. Yeah, all of us would be. Like, there's, you know, well, maybe not you two, but
yeah.
I'm just so it really is mind-boggling.
Yeah. So they at this point, so the biopsy, like waiting for the results, is the biggest thing, because if the biopsy was like the most important thing, the two things was margins. Because if my margins weren't clear, so like from where there was infected bone to healthy bone, right, had to be clear. So it had to be just healthy bone on either side of the section. So as long as that was good, was the biggest thing. And then kill rate of the tumor. My kill rate was 95 plus.
What is the kill rate?
Kill rate is like when they cut it open, like how many cancer cells are alive. So it gives you an idea of how effective the chemo was.
Oh, okay.
So my chemo was super effective at killing my type of cancer.
Okay, the kill rate of killing the cancer.
Yeah, so mine was 95 plus. Yeah. So like certain sections of the tumor was 100% dead. So that was like the best news I could get in the whole thing, because then, you know, your chances of reoccurrence, all these other things,
all that stuff,
drop big time, your survival rate.
And how long do those stats take to come in after the surgery?
A couple weeks.
Okay.
Yeah, a couple weeks. So over the next couple of days, the pain in my leg started getting really, really bad. My arm started to swell up from a site where I had an IV. And I had a port that got infected that was taken out. And I had a new one put in. But the old port site started to get really like red and swollen. And basically, I was going septic.
Jesus Christ.
The infection had gotten into my bloodstream and was just going rampant. So they had scheduled to take me in, because at this time I had the vac on, of course, and they were going to do a change of the vac. Put me in the operating room, and immediately I went into septic shock, which is basically like going into shock, like my heart was going to stop, going into cardiac arrest. They knew right away, like, kind of what to do.
Could you tell that this was going on inside your body?
I had no idea. I thought I was going in for a cleaning, and I woke up in the ICU.
With somebody who went into septic shock.
Oh, that's right.
And it was terrifying.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
It's a fucking crazy story.
And so basically the plate was like grossly infected. So they took the plate out and they put an external fixator on, which is what I have on now, which is basically like, so there's like a metal rod on the outside of my body that has pins that are attached to it that go straight into my leg.
Yeah, so when you stand up, coming out of your hip, like kind of protruding into your sweatpants, like you can see it kind of poking out.
You saw in the x-ray picture, I got six of those going in. Those hold the bone together.
And when do those come out?
Once the bone's a little, probably in a month, once the bone's a little more healed, they're going to take it out, and then they're going to fit me for a prosthetic so I can start partial weight bearing and let the bone fully fuse. And then
you were saying that the bone needs to, you need to have some weight bearing on the bone for it to fully fuse.
Yeah,
so like, do you do exercises to bear some weight on your foot?
I can't right now because it's not healed enough for partial weight bearing. It's once it gets to the point where it is healed enough for partial weight bearing, they'll take the X-Fix off, fit me with a temporary prosthetic, and I'll start putting the bone under stress because bone under stress will heal and cause it to fuse, and then I'll be good. And that might take another 2 months.
Okay.
Okay, so this must be, like, obviously very – you need a lot of support in dealing with this, and probably even more so now at home, now that you're not in the hospital, right?
Not as much now. Like, I'm starting to get my independence back, and, like, I mean, I don't have any more infections. I don't have any more complications, and I'm just trying to get back to, you know, so much that I can do now. But for the most part, like,
How big of a role has your family played in like, getting you through this?
A pretty big role. My parents were there through the whole thing, right? So, I mean, the IWK made that very easy for them to stay. Like, there's a bed in the room and shit like that, you know, kitchen, all that stuff. So it was easy for them. They kind of just rotated back and forth. Like, one would stay 3 days, and my mom would leave. My dad would come stay 3 days, and they just kind of switched back and forth. And so, like, they were there with me throughout the whole thing.
Are you single?
I was seeing someone going into this when I got diagnosed.
And now you're not?
Yeah. I guess everybody deals with it differently, and it just...
Was it just too much for her?
Couldn't, yeah.
Oh, fuck. So at what point... At what point was she like, I'm out?
Kind of like after I figured out, like, I told her what was going to happen, like I was going to lose a leg, and then I think she was there a bit after the surgery, and then kind of just
stopped coming around. Yeah. What was that like? How's it like? Were you guys pretty serious?
No, we weren't that serious. Like, we weren't.
But enough for her to be coming around. Yeah.
So, like, it was tough because, like, everyone that I've spoken to that has had this procedure done, you know, they say, like, tell me not to worry, because the first thing that'll go through your head is like, fuck, like, I'm gonna look fucked up, or, you know, girls aren't gonna find me attractive anymore, or shit like this. Like, that goes through your head.
Yeah.
And then that happening, I was like, fuck, like,
this is it. This is the beginning. Yeah.
Fuck
yeah.
You, cancer.
Yeah.
Fuck you, rotationplasty. Look what you
that,
did.
Was that a dip in your mental
state? It was probably just like a dip in the mental state, but I mean, that just isn't the case.
Yeah, because you were banging all those nurses that whole time. As soon as she left, you were like, hey, nurse, guess what?
I got to say, it hasn't been the issue I thought it was going to be
at
all. It's still fine.
Yeah, everything works.
I mean, it didn't affect my dick, so everything is good.
Aside from the massive balls.
Those shrunk after a while.
Just want to put that out there. Balls are back to normal size.
Totally normal balls. Yeah,
dick
totally
is working normal balls. Fine. Everything works fine.
Everything's great, yeah.
Have you had sex since your surgery?
Yeah.
Okay, what was that like? Like, what are the logistics of that now that you have one leg?
It's party tricks, you know?
Yeah.
It's a backwards foot. A lot of things I can do with that.
Yeah. But was it hard?
That's
like,
not
is
my
it,
thumb. That's my toe. No, but right now it's basically like, it's not healed fully, so I can't really do much. Like,
yeah.
I'm like really good at balancing on one leg now, so I mean,
sure,
that's
yeah.
not an issue. But
yeah,
I mean, so limited to certain positions.
And sure.
So when, like, on this episode, you said that there's three options for the prosthetic, but upstairs you were saying that there was four. You're saying that they were going to take your fucking massive dick and put it down into the prosthetic.
Okay. There was that one, yeah.
That's what he's telling us upstairs. I don't know. Was
weird. Yeah, sure.
We can, cool. we can, like, well, was, the only thing we can do is turn your third leg into your second leg. You will no longer have a third leg. However, your second leg can still work as your third leg. It's a very complicated, complicated
but
process.
It'll only function properly when you're aroused. Otherwise, you will fall to the ground.
So back to everything though, like
rein it in, fellas.
So I went septic. Waking up from septic shock was fucking horrible. Like body, I can't explain it because like everything is affected, right? So like I just felt so fucked up.
Yeah,
like,
your whole nervous system.
Everything's just going out of whack, and it took a couple of days to really like sink back up. So I spent a lot of time in the ICU, and then finally got out, and then they sent me home. And then I started getting these fevers that just wouldn't break at all. So my fevers are 40 plus, and they were lasting all day.
Oh, man.
So fever that long gets your heart rate up. And then I developed SVT in my heart, which is basically, I can't remember if, like the full
acronym.
The acronym of
SVT. But you can't remember it, you idiot? What's wrong with you?
I know.
All these meds, and you can't remember that one thing?
Oh, I was so heavily medicated.
Yeah. But SVT?
My heart was beating.
Look it up, Taylor.
224 beats a minute.
And oh my god!
Just drenched in sweat.
Holy shit.
Apparently,
how did you not have a fucking heart attack?
Apparently, it's like super common in like infants and shit like that. And they'll just like dunk the baby's head in ice, and then it'll just get it to regulate and shit.
Get the fuck out of here!
Yeah.
How can it happen to anyone at all?
Mine was just put on by the fevers and shit, but like it could happen to you right now. Right. But it's so like.
Do you know? Like, do you feel it? Are you like, man? I feel.
Well, I started sweating. Like, it looked like I like come out of the shower. Like, I just became drenched in sweat. My heart felt like it was pounding through my chest. I thought I was gonna fucking die.
Yeah, that sounds terrifying.
Yeah,
supraventricular tachycardia.
Yeah,
supraventricular is when your heart beats too fast. It's caused by faulty electrical signals in your heart.
Yeah, one of the signals like goes off, and then some of that beat gets out of sync. So they basically gave me a drug that took my heart rate going from 224 beats a minute to like 110 in 3 seconds. And it feels it's fucking crazy.
What drug is that?
Feels like they drop like a brick wall on my chest and you just feel ill like right afterwards.
Oh, man.
They tried it 3 times. Didn't work. My heart just kept on going back to the same heart rate. So then they're like, fuck, what do we do? This is late at night. So they call the cardiologist, brought me back in the ICU again, and they did the same drug, but over 10 minutes. And luckily it put my heart back in sync.
A heartbeat, a heartbeat at like extreme exercise is like 120, right? Ish.
No. You can get up to 200.
Can get up to 200 or sorry, like 170, 170. I'm kind of thinking.
They said like you could survive with it doing that though for like quite some time. Like if you think about it as like the heart is a muscle, like. It could do a bunch of curls all day, and then eventually my bicep would tear.
Just, yeah.
So, like, your heart, the issue will be you can get permanent heart damage from it beating that fast for too long, right? Because you can damage the muscle.
Right.
But, that happened to me about 3 different times.
And so that was a byproduct of the dude, septic shock? Like, your body was just kind of freaking out?
It was actually, it turned out, I went septic a second time. And I went with, this time, it was a fungal sepsis. And it was in my lung.
What the fuck hasn't happened to you, dude?
Yeah. Like they told like, me. They
this
told
is
me
insane.
That the oncologist told me that they've said, we've seen all of these complications happen to kids, but we have never seen a kid have every single one. It's like just one patient have all of them.
Wow. And do you, like right now, in this moment, do you feel like fucking unstoppable? Like it, like you seem like you seem like the U.S. military should be knocking on your door to be like, listen, son, like we need to fucking take your genes and
well, if Donald Trump is president, then
Trump is coming for you.
Yeah,
Trump. Man, fuck, like it's so crazy.
Yeah,
you've gone through some crazy
shit. So they. And at this point, they had, you know, fixed the heart thing, but they're freaking out because my fevers aren't breaking. I'm just getting fucking super ill. And they're thinking, okay, what if it's a leg again? So they're saying, okay, we might have to take your leg. Because that would be like the ultimate thing. Like if the leg's infected and it's too bad, the only way to get rid of that infection is fucking get rid of the leg.
Cut it off.
Or there was also a concern, since I have a port in my chest, which goes right to my heart, there's a big, big concern with going septic that if that gets in the line of your port,
oh, it's just going to blast your heart, through you. Yeah.
Fuck you up.
Yeah.
So then they were thinking about pulling my port a third time. This would be a second time, removing my port. And then they did an x-ray and they saw something in my lung. They knew it wasn't cancer because a tumor wouldn't grow that quick. So they thought it was fungal. They gave me some fungal medications, which I responded to well. Then they booked me for a biopsy, which they just opened up the side of my lung, collapsed it again.
No big deal.
Dude, yeah, they opened up the side.
Jesus Christ.
But the issue is my lung, usually when they open it up, your lung will just collapse instantly. From all the scarring and tissue from the chemo I've had, like in the fluid in my lungs, it didn't collapse. So he had to make a bigger incision on up by my lat, stick his fingers in, and physically push the lung down. And then
fucking shit.
Yeah. Dude. And then he removed the fungal part to send it to get biopsied and stuck like a tube in the side of my chest. And that sat there for about 2 days. And then he just pulled it out on the third day.
If anybody listening to this fucking podcast has like is having a shitty day today, you fucking better be feeling like your day is not that fucking bad now. Because holy shit, dude. Yeah. Like, huh?
Yeah, and I mean, like, there were also like little things, I guess, like, that also happened through that. Like, after this all happened, through the sepsis and everything, that was, like, I think one of my last complications. And then...
Was this all through... Was this, like, spaced out pretty evenly?
Kind of, yeah, for the most part.
Like, over the 9 months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For the most part. But I also, like, when they did my surgery, they cut through my nerve by accident. There was too much scar tissue. That was another complication I had, but they had to repair the nerve. I had lots of shit go wrong.
And yeah, that's why you're saying that, like, the movement of your ankle is not as great as you'd like it to be.
Yeah, because a nerve, I guess, regenerates at like a millimeter a day, so an inch a week or something like that. It takes a long time for it to...
I'm like, math.
Yeah, yeah. It takes a long time. So I'm waiting for it to fully kind of come back and shit like that.
So what's your mental state now? Like, how are you doing? Like,
oh, I'm just unstoppable.
Yeah, yeah. Like, do you feel good? You feel good?
Yeah. Like, I feel pretty good.
You're adjusting to your new life.
Yeah. I mean, I look forward to like being able to be more functional and stuff and get back to things. But yeah, like, I came pretty quick to like, it's hard to like, once you lose a limb like that, like like, you can't be like, oh, I'm just going to go back. I changed my mind. I'm going to just reattach my thigh. Like, it's just, you wake up and you're like, all right, this is what I got. This is what I'm going to deal with. Like, there's no other choice. Right? Yeah. It's a one-way road.
Do you ever look at videos of, like, bionic limbs? Think about, like, what that might be like?
No. I've never seen anything. Like, I mean, I'm kind of pumped for, like, the future, and I'm going to have, like, a fucking jet lag.
Oh, yeah.
You know, jetpack lag. Yeah. Shit.
I think that the future...
Tesla is going to just come up with some cool shit,
you two-legged
sure.
People are going to hate it. I'm going to be fucking flying around on my hoverboard leg. And
we're going to want to get our legs.
I honestly do think...
People are going to be cutting off their limbs just to be like me.
I honestly do think that the future is holding something, like...
There will come a
pretty
day.
Fucking crazy for prosthetics. I mean, like, I've seen stuff where like fully functional, like arms, like two arms that have like all the moving joints, fingers, everything, and it's like a chest. It's like a, it's almost like shoulder,
an exoskeleton.
Like shoulder pads. Yeah. It's crazy.
Have you seen the TED Talk video of the woman who she was a
paraplegic?
Special Olympics, like sprinter.
The girl who has the prosthetic that looks,
she's beautiful.
Exactly like. You can't tell that it's a prosthetic.
Yeah, and she also has all these like artistic made. Like, she has this like really beautiful oak like carved out one, and she has all these different types of, and then she has this crazy like blown glass one that's like that them, that has shit. She doesn't make them, she hires people to make them, and then she does like runway shows with them and stuff, and like and models them, but they're fucking insane. Yeah. And she it's both of her legs are gone.
Oh, shit.
And she's like, you know what's awesome about my situation? She's like, I can wake up one day and decide, do I want to be like my regular 5'6" or do I want to be a fucking 6'1" with like bombshell legs? It's up to me. Like, I can choose. It like, it's, dude, it's a wicked TED talk. You should definitely
wake up and think, do I want to have one leg really longer than the other?
I want to be lopsided as fuck today.
Do I want to make everyone wonder if I'm tilted to the side?
So at this point, because it takes a while to get back from sepsis and everything. And so once I was better, they wanted to finish the rest of my cleanup chemo. And then of course they did the chemo again, my creatinine skyrocketed and my kidneys just could not take it. So at this point I had reached 22 treatments. So I was supposed to have a total of 28, and then it came down again to decision time. And they deliberated and had a big meeting, and they gave me 3 choices again. They could fully amputate my leg. This is what the oncologists wanted to do. They wanted to fully amputate the leg because if I went septic again, there was a good chance that I would die from it. Because generally people don't go septic 3 times or 2 times. Like, you usually only go septic once. Like, wow. I shouldn't go septic anymore. Yeah. So there was a good chance like sepsis could kill me. And then also then you have to weigh in 22 treatments, 28 treatments. What are your chances? Does that increase reoccurrence, not increase reoccurrence? So they wanted to get rid of the leg. The doctors wanted to keep the leg and stop the chemo. Yeah, I guess there was only 2 choices. There wasn't a 3rd one.
That's easier.
And so then they...
Third one was like, do nothing.
Just do nothing.
Do nothing.
The surgeons wanted to stop the chemo because everything they were doing to try and heal my leg up, chemo was undoing, right?
Yeah.
Because I had that part in the back open, so it just wouldn't heal because you can't heal with, you know, fucking chemo.
Poison going through you.
Poison, basically.
Yeah.
And then when I... So I had to ask some serious questions, right? It came down to me asking the oncologists, because I knew they had kids, like, what would they do? Would you tell your son, stop chemo or continue chemo, lose their leg? And the head oncologist told me, if I lose my leg, he could only guarantee me 2 treatments. And then after those 2 treatments, there's no telling if my kidneys would fail and I would go on dialysis. And then, so then at that point, it became pretty cut and dry that chemo was going to be a bad idea. Like, I had to stop at this point. Yeah. My body's telling me you can't do it anymore. Like, you've reached your limit. So I said, that's it. And I fucking no more chemo. And they said, all right, that's your choice. And we're just going to get you healed up. We're going to get you better and no more chemo.
Sorry, maybe I missed this. So when you're doing chemo after you've removed the tumor that's attached to the femur, what is the chemo treating?
The cleanup chemo is for anything that got away. So if it got in my blood system or it was going to metastasize and go anywhere.
Just like little nomad cancer cells, you know, like shit just like.
Because the place it'll go would be my lungs, right? So that's why they do the cleanup chemo. And so what they told me was if you, let's say, get, you know, 28 treatments, good margins, all that shit that I got, but you get the full treatment, you're in this 80% survival rate, right? It's generally what they can give you if you get the full fucking recipe. But they said they can't tell how much that cleanup chemo actually weighs in to everything.
Right.
So they told me they still considered me in that 80% category because of what in like an intensive surgery I had and how intense they were with the margins. And so they felt that the chemotherapy was very effective at killing my cancer, so that if there was anything in there, it would likely be dead.
Yeah.
So I just said, all right, then that's how it's going to be, and it'll be good. So we stopped it, and I've had follow-ups since, and everything's been good.
How often do you have to go for follow-ups now?
Every 2 months for the first year, and then I think it goes every 3, then every 6. The first 3 years are the most crucial.
Yeah.
Right.
And then once you reach the 4-year mark, it's just annually. Because as the years go, lowers the chances of reoccurrence, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. So
this is where you're at now?
Pretty much, yeah. I don't have any more complications. I'm still getting antibiotics through my port. That's why I still have it. So the VON comes, gives me the Dapto. Yeah. It's called Daptomycin. It doesn't really matter.
Sure.
But they're giving it to me daily. And they're just going to continue doing that until they take the X-Fix off, just because the X-Fix is like an open
wound with a metal just kind of drove into you.
Yeah, so they want
to just keep that there. It's like the most extreme piercing.
Yeah, so then I'll have one more surgery to take the X-Fix off.
Right.
And then one surgery to take the port out.
I'm curious to know, what was up with your friends throughout all this? Like, socially...
So
what was going on?
Well, I mean, most of them were around for a bit until they went back to the university and stuff. And some of them were around. But when I got diagnosed, I just told myself, okay, you have cancer. You're just going to go and have chemo, have your surgery.
Blast it out.
And then just show back up to work, be good. Nothing happened. You're all good. Nothing. Just put life on hold. And you can't think that way, but like I'm... course just been told I have cancer. I'm not thinking clearly. Yeah. And that's just what I wanted to believe. So I didn't really tell anybody. I told like my close friends, of course, like family, shit like that. But I just wanted to have this mental idea that everything was just going to be cool. But now,
sweep it of course, under the rug.
Everything just went south.
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I can't really just come back now and be like, oh, about that leg. Just ignore that.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, so... But my friends that like I did tell were great. I mean, yeah. they visited me a lot, and they still are. Like, they're you know, I still have friends that are around here that you know take me out to do stuff and as much as I can do right now.
And like, do you? I'm sure there's been so many questions and people asking you, and even when you're talking about like you know seeing people that you don't know, like children and you know parents or whatever, just people in the street.
Yeah.
How do you handle those questions? Like, you seem like a really fucking laid back dude.
Yeah.
Is it just that kind of thing where you?
Yeah, I mean, I just explain it to them. I mean, I was going through the treatment. I ran into one of my high school teachers. Like, my mom had taken me out for lunch. This is one of the things I at least got to do is I'd get passes. Like, yeah. Get passes when I was in the hospital. So I went out and I was in the car and I'm bald at this time. I'm going through chemo, but she can't see me because I'm in the car, so she can't see that I don't have. Like one leg.
Right.
And she goes and she's like, oh, Brandon, like, how are you? And
you look like shit.
She's like, oh, are you trying a new haircut style out? Because it's, you know, the summer and you shave your head. And I just like looked at my mom and then looked back at her and I was like, no, I have cancer. And she's like, children, go away by the door.
Oh, no.
Shoot her kids away. I started freaking out. And I was like, yeah. And I also have one leg now.
Like,
oh,
no.
Yeah.
She's like, whoa, yeah. I really didn't expect it to go that way.
I have to go now. Goodbye. Yeah, no, I just try and explain it like as quick as I can, get the whole story. And I mean, everyone will always have questions about it. I mean, it's not something you see every day.
Always. Yeah, I mean, always.
But, yeah, so I like always I just have to deal with that. But yeah. I feel like there isn't
too Do you many, kind of resent that?
Not really. Like, it's not like it's like a negative like stigma or questions about it. Like, I don't think anyone like looks at someone and goes, oh, an amputee.
No, but like yeah. do you get kind of fed up with talking with like
yeah.
spilling out the whole story?
Sometimes a bit. And that's why I saw like doing this podcast would kind of help just to kind of like get it out there.
Yeah, everybody, just shut the fuck up. When you see Brandon, just shut up.
Don't fucking say anything.
Just listen to the podcast and shut up.
Just say, go listen to Sick Boy.
Yeah, I'm just going to tell everybody that.
Dude, can I just say that you have a fucking amazing attitude.
Oh, man.
Like, I just think it's so admirable the way that, because we had this conversation the other day about inspiration and people be inspiring, but like, I find that you're inspiring, and not just because you're living with this, but the way that you approach it and the way that you live your life because of it and the way that you handle these situations, I find that that's really admirable and inspiring because you're just fucking, you're just doing it. You're just taking life as it comes and fuck it, whatever, I get these shitty hands and it's like everything that could go wrong did go wrong, but fuck it, whatever, I'm still alive.
Dude, you're a brand new amputee and you've already fucked You've already fucked. Like,
that's the biggest milestone of amputation.
That's amazing.
Yeah. They told me, they're like, listen, you may never fuck for a few years. I was like, I'm going to crush that.
Yeah, yeah, right. Yeah,
I took
month.
Out my phone day of the surgery. Yeah, you can come by room 7-Eleven. Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. This is...
your amputee virginity.
Yeah. Right. Got all that hospital action.
That's right.
Dude, that's amazing.
Man, fuck.
And I do see it that way. Like, I would like to get involved with some cancer camps and stuff like that.
Yo, I'm going to hook you up. I got a cancer camp. It's a surf camp out in Maui. And a guy who actually had osteosarcoma went out to that camp. And we'll talk about it.
Sweet.
Yeah, I'll get you hooked up with Athletes for Cancer because they're a fucking great crew. And, man, you like just having you there would be a huge thing for them and the people that go there because,
I just feel like it would help a lot. And I mean, cause it really is like going through cancer really is like a battle in its own sense. And like, I almost think about it as like, almost like a soldier going to war, like a soldier will go to war and leave, but who never come back the same person. Cause it'll take something from them. Yeah. And cancer, no matter what, will take something from you. And in my situation, you know, it took my leg, and that's going to have a ripple effect on the rest of my life. Even though I beat it, it's still going to take something no matter what. You can't go into cancer and just come out fucking unscathed. Like,
no.
It will affect you.
Yeah. So.
That's pretty powerful.
Dude, crazy, fuck. Man. Yeah. Thank you for coming in and doing this. This was...
Wish I could just do a mic drop.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what I felt it.
I felt it.
Yeah.
Cool.
We can add the effect in.
Maybe one day we'll do it. We'll fix it on stage and tell you my story. I'll
fix it in post. Yeah.
After you break in, you can break dance off
stage. Yeah, spin around on my one backwards leg.
Cool. Thanks a lot, dude. It was really great having you in. Thank you all so much for listening. Hope you fucking enjoyed it.
Let's just end it.
Cool.
I'm Brian.
Thank you all so much for listening.
I'm Brian.
Yeah,
I'm that's Taylor.
Fuck. This happens every once in a while, but
do I say?
All right, go for it.
I'm Jeremy.
I'm Taylor too.
All right, thank you all so much for listening.
All right. I'm
Brian. I'm Taylor.
Oh, God damn it. I'm Jeremy. This is Sick Boy. Don't do that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, don't do that.
For more CBC podcasts, go to cbc.ca/podcasts.